Announcements are a public or formal notice often given of things to come. As Wendy read from Isaiah 42:9 tonight, which is one of God's announcements about the coming Savior, we hear, "See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you." God's supernatural announcements come in many forms. Prophecies are a form of announcements given through men. An angel made an announcement to Mary and to the shepherds keeping watch over their flocks. Joseph received announcements from an angel and through a dream. God uses the natural world to make announcements as well. The star announced Jesus' coming and his arrival. The word of God is full of announcements. Jesus' birth, crucifixion, and conquering death were all announced in Scripture long before those events took place. Most of the Jews misread or misunderstood God's announcements concerning their Savior because they were blinded by their own expectations. We need to listen to and properly discern announcements if we are to receive the benefits of those coming events. There were many wise men in ancient days, many men who watched the stars and planets to ascertain future happenings and understand their world. The scriptures only document that three wise men properly read the heavens and responded to that celestial announcement. They traveled a long distance to complete that response, and their reward was great. They were among the first men to see Emmanuel, God with us. Receiving a wonderful gift often follows listening to announcements without expectations. Sometimes the gift is hidden for a time. The scriptures speak of hidden gifts and mysteries revealed in God's time. We are called to believe in God's love and goodness, to heed his announcements, regardless of how things around us may appear. The son of a wealthy man expected to receive a sports car for his graduation. Months before graduation, his father sent an invitation to his son, requesting him to come home for the weekend before graduation. When the young man arrived home that weekend, excitingly expecting to receive the car, his father fondly met him at the door and escorted him into his study. The father then proceeded to express his great love for his son and handed him a wrapped present. When the son opened it, he found in it a box containing a leather-bound Bible, and his name was inscribed on the spine. Angrily, the young man tossed the box at his father and threw it on the desk and stormed out, saying, "With all your money, all you can give me is a Bible?" And he never spoke to him again, despite the fact that young man's father tried to contact him many times. Years later, he got a call that his father had died and he had left him everything. As he was going through his father's belongings, he found that Bible still in its box. Curious, he took the Bible out of the box and opened it. The page fell open to a passage his father had marked, and he looked at the page and noticed that his dad had underlined Matthew 7:11. "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your father give what is good to those who ask him?" And as he read it, a car key fell from inside the Bible. It had a tag with the dealer's name on it for the sports car that he had wanted all those years earlier. On the tag beside his graduation date were the words, "Paid in full. Love, Dad." Sometimes we risk injury and or loss to follow God's announcements. It may be as harmless as a loss of expectation, but it can be as serious as a loss of reputation or the risk of injury or death. God had a wonderful gift for Mary, a wonderful gift of a baby boy, a gift for the whole world. But receiving it wasn't as simple as that, because Mary wasn't married, and in those days, that was a serious problem. You know, Bob talked to us this morning about Joseph and his faith in accepting the gift and the announcement that was given to him. We often don't appreciate what courage it took on Mary's part to agree to bring Jesus into the world. In Mary's mind, there would have been three very real fears. First, she could have been stoned. Having a child out of wedlock in Jewish society in those days was a capital offense. You could be stoned for it. The Old Testament prescribed stoning for adulterers. She could have been set aside. Mary risked losing her fiancé, Joseph, who would naturally think that she had been sleeping around. It was very easy at that stage for Joseph to have abandoned her to her fate as an unmarried mother, and there was no welfare state in those days for single mothers. And the third possibility is she could have given Jesus the stigma of illegitimacy. And her son would have had that stigma of illegitimacy, a horrible, horrible birthright in those days. So as we read the account of the angel Gabriel announcing to Mary that she will conceive and bear a son, Jesus, let us not forget how brave and courageous Mary was when she said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." So in conclusion, as we look forward to Christmas in 2012, let us appreciate the importance of God's announcements. He loves us so much that he communicates continually with us. Be alert to see and listen and then heed those announcements. Most importantly, let us reflect on and properly discern the wonderful beauty of God's greatest gift in the stable in Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago. A Savior who is Christ the Lord, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, God's Son, came into the world to reconcile man to God. He died on a cross to take the penalty of our sins so that we could once again become children of God. What is your reaction going to be to God's wonderful gift this Christmas? Are you going to turn away from it just as the young man turned away from his father's gift and lose out on a wonderful present? Will you follow the announcement and move towards the gift as the wise men did? Will you gratefully and completely receive that gift just as Mary and Joseph did? Will you fully receive Emmanuel? The choice is yours. And Keith, I have a video I'd like to play for you from Charles Spurgeon.
You the meaning of that name, Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, it is wisdom's mystery, God with us. Sages look at it and wonder. Angels desire to see it. The plumb line of reason cannot reach halfway into its depths. The eagle wings of science cannot fly so high, and the piercing eye of the vulture of research cannot see it. God with us. It is hell's terror. Satan trembles at the sound of it. His legions fly apace. The black-winged dragon of the pit quails before it. Let Satan come to you suddenly, and do you but whisper the word, God with us, and back he falls, confounded and confused. Satan trembles when he hears that name. God with us. It is the laborer's strength. How could he preach the gospel? How could he bend his knees in prayer? How could the missionary go into foreign lands? How could the martyr stand at the stake? How could the confessor acknowledge his master? How could men labor if that one word were taken away? God with us is the sufferer's comfort, is the balm of his woe, is the alleviation of his misery, is the sleep that God gives to his beloved, is the rest after exertion and toil. God with us is eternity's sonnet, is heaven's hallelujah, is the shout of the glorified, is the song of the redeemed, is the chorus of angels, and is the everlasting oratorio of the great